Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The issue of whistleblowers has been a big one in South Africa, and every now and then it kind of peaks, and then it's always there. But we get these terrible, terrible stories where whistleblowers pay at the ultimate price, and it's really, really just awful, especially in South Africa, where there is this desperate need to expose corruption, fraud, maladministration, wrongdoing. It takes a tremendous amount of courage to stand up as a whistleblower. And of course, the question is, does it pay off in South Africa? And we do have some protections for it, certainly on paper, but is it really enough? We are joined this morning to talk about this, to try and understand it, by Ben Taron. He's the Executive Director of the Whistleblower House. Ben, a very good morning. Thank you for joining us. It's a very, very complex area because of the desperate need that we have to understand what's going on and to root out corruption, but also, of course, the very desperate need to protect those people that are brave enough to do so. So before we get into that, can we just start with some basic understanding? What is, in legal and practical terms, what is a whistleblower, and who are the types of people that become whistleblowers?
Good morning, and thank you for having us, and good morning to your audience. A whistleblower is an African law, and I'm quoting the technical term of the law, is somebody who within an organization who's got a contractual relationship with the organization, so typically an employee, comes forward and says something is happening, there's malfeasance, there's corruption, etc., and that reporting goes into the organization, and the King report and the King recommendation, King 4, speaks about all companies ought to have a secure, anonymous whistleblower facility. So when I see something wrong, I must have a vehicle and a channel to blow the whistle to, and typically that goes to the ethics line, a whistleblower hotline. There are ethics board members, and typically HR and labor relations would then be involved. So boards normally have an ethics committee, and that would then go to the ethics committee to investigate. So that, in short, is the answer that you're looking for.
That is, and that's what that's the recommendation. That's the law. But does it translate? How does it work in practice? What have you seen?
The law assumes that companies will be responsible, put up structures, etc., for the whistleblower, and then treat the whistleblower with respect and treat them properly and take care of them. That is what the law assumes. It's silent, but it assumes that. What typically happens is that the moment somebody comes forward, and we've experienced this on a day-to-day basis, is that when somebody comes forward and exposes malfeasance, the company's almost invariably, the response almost invariably is, we need to protect the company name to ensure that nobody knows that there's malfeasance. So therefore, they will try to silence the whistleblower and do something about that. About silence. When I say silence, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking they mute the person.
Yes, yes.
They will discipline the person. They will tell the person, they'll put the person through the disciplinary process. And typically, the charges are, you brought the company into disrepute. You shared private company confidential information. You have acted outside your mandate, and then the person gets fired. They actually try to silence the person with bullying, etc. And if the person persists, they will then fire the person on trump of charges. Incredible. And the idea, of course, is to ensure that the word does not go out that there is corruption in the company. And we believe that if the company actually listens to whistleblowers, and if you have enough time, I'll give you examples.
Yes.
If the company listens to a whistleblower, thousands and millions and billions could be saved. And they don't do that because all they want to do is to protect the company name.
Incredible. It is. It's just so frightening because, and in fact, it's almost a South African cultural thing because we even see that. And I don't want to get into the political conversations about what people should be talking about to other, you know, outside of South Africa and what they. But the reality is that it's so much easier to attack a whistleblower or a person speaking externally than it is to deal with some of the issues internally. And maybe it's just human nature.
I want to caution that you sort of Africanize the culture. It isn't. It's international.
Boeing
is an international company based in America.
Sure.
Their whistleblowers are absolutely bullied and silenced. I mean, somebody committed suicide because...
Yes.
So it is international.
Right.
It is not a South African phenomenon.
Okay, so that is good to know. In terms of effective whistleblower protection, how does that work in South Africa? Because now we're not talking about somebody within a company who's the threat is being fired. Now we're talking about people who place themselves and their families in danger.
It's important that we distinguish between whistleblowing mm-hmm. and witness protection, whistleblower protection and
okay.
witness protection. A witness is potentially a whistleblower at the beginning, but as the case goes on, it becomes a witness. Okay, so at Madlanga Commission at the moment, you have people coming forward with information, and they get asked to come and present the information, etc. And let me start with the easy one, witness
sure.
protection.
Right.
To qualify for the witness protection, there's only one organization in Africa that gives witness protection, and that is the NPA, National Prosecuting Authority.
Right.
They have an office for witness protection under their wing, and they've got a directorate, and et cetera, and they're the only people. So when the Hawks want to put somebody in witness protection, they go to NPA. If SAPs want to do that, they've got to go to NPA. The criteria to qualify for witness protection is two things. Number one, there must be a credible threat. So your life must actually, they do a threat assessment, and your life must be in danger. And the second one is that there must be a case enrolled at the court. Now,
right.
we in South Africa know that it could take 3 years to get to trial. So if the thing is enrolled in a court and the court date is 2029, I can be put in witness protection now. The problem with witness protection is that you get isolated because
right.
when there's a threat, they don't leave you in your house and your workplace, etc. They take you out of that environment to ensure you are protected. They do a threat assessment on you and your immediate family, and then the whole unit potentially gets relocated into safe area, and that could be in South Africa or internationally. That is extremely intrusive.
Yeah,
because you get taken away out of your normal life.
Right, it changes your life.
So when you understand the witness protection program, and it's not it is not as glamorous as what television shows you, because it's lonely.
Sure.
You get taken out of your church,
right.
your workplace,
everything you've known,
and you're isolated, and that causes other psychological stress as well. And we haven't started talking about that.
Right.
The point is that. Under for whistleblowing, nothing like that exists. Zero.
Wow.
For you to qualify for that, you have to qualify. For you to qualify for that, you've got to jump through the hurdle that says there's something at a court enrolled, and well, as well as your life is in threat. So if you're not a witness in that context, you're just a whistleblower, and you have zero alternative to that, because the law doesn't make provision for that. We have started talking to companies, and there's only one company in South Africa that has instituted good whistleblower principles. And the four categories that we provide whistleblowers, that company has started providing that. So they've signed the document, they've got the policy, they've got the procedures, and the work process for that. And that company is Telkom SA. So our processes that we've developed is the service we provide is legal advice before and after you blow the whistle. Secondly, psychological support, because when people lose their jobs, they actually start suffering psychologically. Thirdly, is security, and lastly, financial assistance. The only company in what we know of in South Africa, and I think possibly in the world, is Telkom SA that have used those four principles. And they've initiated that internally. So a whistleblower inside Telkom at the moment have the right to get legal advice before blowing the whistle. They get protected. If they are threatened, they can move to another station internally, et cetera, et cetera. So we, Telkom is the only organization that have done this. We haven't found any other one so far.
Very, very. And but hopefully once you have one company like this, perhaps others will follow. Are you hopeful or you...
We intend 2026, over the last 3 years that we've been up, 3.5 years we operational, we had to get our ducks in a row because this is the first in the world. I couldn't go anywhere else in the world and go look at how people do things because what we've done is unique. It's groundbreaking. So for the last 3 years, we've had to put systems in place. We had to put panel of lawyers that are competent, a panel of psychologists. We had to look at our security stuff. So the last 3 years, we're extremely busy ensuring that our internal processes are right. We aim in 2026 to go out to companies, go through the business chambers to ensure people understand the value. Now, let's talk about the value of a whistleblower. Companies don't realize that a whistleblower is, in fact, an early warning system. And there are one or two examples that I can quote. The Daybreak Fund that is funded by the PIC, the Public Investment Corporation, that deals with 2.5 trillion rand of pension fund, the government pension fund, businesses in South Africa to try to, and the BEE deals primarily as well. In 2014-2015, the chief financial officer of Daybreak Farms identified 15 million rands worth of corruption. She went to the PIC and said, there's a problem here, and she was fired. The SIU have now proven that there's somewhere around 1.5 billion rand that have been siphoned off. So if right up front somebody listened, 15 million rand was the figure I quoted. And now it's the billions. If you look at Babita Deokaran, and I talk very emotional about Babita. She identified 800 million rand, which is a lot of money, it's not a little. It's a lot, 800 million rand is being siphoned off. Every single item, contract under that 800 million was under 500,000 rand. And the reason for 500,000 rand was under the radar, where you don't have to go out to open tender. So 800 million rand was siphoned off purely on less than 500,000 rand at a time. When the SIU now, 2 months ago, made an announcement that identified and they are pursuing money, the figure was 2 billion rand. Now, if somebody listened to Babita when she spoke, they would have stopped the rot at 800 million rand. But they didn't. They murdered her. And so to that figure balloon. Now, if you take that same principle to normal organizations every day, doesn't matter which industry you're in, when a whistleblower identifies fraud and corruption, the figure is normally small because it's right at the tip of the iceberg. If you leave it, it actually grows exponentially.
It's such an interesting...
So whistleblowers is an absolute tool
critical.
For companies to...
Yeah. Ben Taron, we do need to leave it there. It's just such a vital, vital conversation, and the work that you do is just incredibly important. Keep fighting the good fight. Ben Taron, Executive Director of the Whistleblower House, talking to us about whistleblowing and the importance of it, the importance of protecting our whistleblowers in South Africa.